610 at News Talk 94.9 WSJM. It's Ray Gustafson and Tim Dunai, and this is Robotics Roundtable. Robotics Roundtable on WSJM, brought to you by Kettering University. Think differently, learn differently at Kettering University. South Haven Public Schools, inspiring success in learning, leadership, and life. Wausau Homes of Stevensville, redefining the building experience. Berrien Springs Public Schools, together inspiring students to think, learn, achieve, and care in a global community. Luke Brown and Vicki Holt from True Blue Financial, independent, uncomplicated, objective. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA/SIPC. Lane Automotive, they're currently hiring in their distribution center. You can go to their website, laneautomotive.com. Life is better at Lane. And Lakeshore Public Schools, grounded in tradition, committed to excellence, supporting and offering STEM education, science, technology, education, and mathematics. Again, this is Robotics Roundtable here on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Ray Gustafson, Tim Dunai with you, as we have been for the last 9 weeks now, as we have been in the robotics season and things are starting to wrap up. By the way, we're also on Facebook Live tonight, as we are every Tuesday night as well. So if you're listening along and you have to step away from the radio, or if you'd like to see what's going on, go to WSJM News on Facebook and you can follow along. And it looks like we've got a dozen or so people already logged in and watching us. And we encourage you to post comments if you or questions that you have, or if you'd like to just give shout-outs or congratulations to the teams that we have in tonight. Normally, Tim, we have all of the teams listed on the Facebook page, but we've got too many tonight because normally we're just on the air for an hour. We're going to do the season finale of Robotics Roundtable. So we're going to be on until 8 o'clock tonight.
Yes,
because
we
want to give all of the teams that we can, that we're able to make it here tonight, a chance to come in and share their successes of the robotics season.
Yes, we're definitely going to let the kids kind of share what they've gone through, experienced. We've had teams that made it to the world championships, teams that made it to state championships. We're going to let them share a lot of what they went through and what they're looking forward to even for next year.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, a quick rundown of the teams that we're going to have.
Yeah.
We're
going to
have Team 4855, Team Ramageddon from South Haven is in the room with us. They'll talk a little bit. Then the Bionic Bison from New Buffalo, Robo Rangers from Cassopolis. In the second hour, the plan is, if we continue to do this right, we'll have the Greengineers out of Berrien Springs, then the Average Joes from St. Joe, and we will finish off with Team Lancebot from Lakeshore High School.
Awesome. So we got a full round table of teams coming in tonight for robotics. Now, 2 weeks ago, we had the first half of the world competition in Houston. And then last weekend was the, I guess, what you could call the second half. Is that what they're terming this?
That would be it was the Houston Championship and the Detroit Championship.
And the Detroit Championship. And the reason that was split up, normally in the past, Tim, it's just been one, but it's gotten so big.
Oh, definitely. 2 years ago was the final year that they had a single event, and that was in St. Louis. And at that time, there were 675 high school teams that competed. This past weekend, there were 405 teams in Detroit alone, added to the 400 teams that were in Houston the week prior. So an additional 125 teams were able to compete. That's just at the high school level. All of the levels, from LEGO League Junior through LEGO League all the way up to First Tech Challenge, all of those groups were able to grow because of two events happening in two different locations.
Right. And so now we had six teams from Southwest Michigan go to the world competition, right?
Yes. So we had six area teams that were able to compete and actually competed very well. What happens is through the competition on each field, there's about 67 teams. And the goal is to make it to the final alliance selection, to be one of the top 32 machines that are chosen to go into the playoffs, if you will.
Right.
And all six of our teams actually were selected or were an alliance captain. They chose their alliances. And we'll talk with Ramageddon because they have a success story to share there. So instead of just going to the event and taking it in and competing and enjoying it a little bit, the Southwest Michigan teams went, competed, and competed very well.
Good, good. So we'll throughout the course of the evening here, we'll kind of run down how things went at the world competition that took place, the second half of it, I guess, at the world competition in Detroit. And so you said we've got our first team coming up. We'll take a break before we meet with them And this is Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. And we're being brought to you by Kettering University, South Haven Public Schools, Wausau Homes in Stevensville, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Luke Brown, Vicki Holt from True Blue Financial, Lane Automotive, and Lakeshore Public Schools. We'll be back to talk with the teams in just a moment here on WSJM. Six 18 at News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Ray Gustafson, Tim Dunai, Robotics Roundtable, our weekly show every Tuesday night at 6 throughout robotics season. This is our last night for Robotics Roundtable until next, I guess, January, isn't
next,
it?
Next February.
Or next February before we'll pick this back up again. Bless you. And we'll looking forward to hearing until next season already. I really, Tim, this has been a lot of fun to do these. This is our third year of doing this now, and it's been a lot of fun to showcase the kids. And I've learned a lot. My son was in robotics. I've learned a lot then, and I've learned even a lot more just getting involved in it here. It's been a lot of fun talking about robotics and just how it's grown. Just how we've seen it grow just in the 3 years here, just in Michigan alone with the number of teams.
Yeah, definitely. And we, the Sunset Coast Robotics Alliance, speaking on behalf of the students in the room and the ones who are in this area, we very much appreciate how much you and Lewis, you know, every week having to put up with me on the radio here. but you and then Pat Moody and everybody has really just jumped in and helped to support the continuous growth that we're seeing. Definitely, it is a community event, and you can see that when we're out and we're in, you know, talking with people. I can't tell you the number of people that, you know, comment on the show or us talking right on Monday mornings with the recap and really mm-hmm. appreciate it. So yeah, we really appreciate you guys giving us the time. We don't take that lightly. We very yeah. much appreciate it.
And we appreciate you listening and following us on Facebook as well, because that's your support as well from a listener and follower on Facebook. Is greatly appreciated. Again, we're on Facebook Live. We have a camera in the studio. It's just a stationary, so you can't see us very well. But if you want to follow along, log on to Facebook, go to WSJM News. You'll see that we're Facebook Live right now. Tim, we've got a team in the studio tonight.
So we're going to let the students introduce themselves. Representing Team 4855, Team Ramageddon. The students, let them introduce themselves, and then we'll start talking a little bit about the season you've had.
My name is Joel Rummel, and I'm a senior this year.
My name is Maddie Wise. I'm a junior.
And my name is Sophie Gano, and I'm also a junior.
Okay, guys. So tell us, you guys were actually in the first show of the year, and at that point we didn't know how the season was going to go. So maybe the quick recap, what's some of the things that Team Ramageddon was able to do this year, and did you meet your expectations or exceed your expectations? We'll start, Joel. Go ahead.
I definitely think we exceeded our expectations. We walked into this season thinking, well, we'll do our best. Maybe we'll qualify for the state competition. And if we do, that'll be great. Well, we would have had a great run. But we were all surprised, I think, when we learned that we had qualified for the world competition for the first time, because we had never done either, let alone in the same year.
Very good. Maddie?
Yeah, we definitely exceeded our expectations. At our Go Lake competition, we won the Entrepreneurship Award, which is like the first award we've won since our rookie year. So that was just amazing for us. And then to move on and qualify for the state and worlds, that was just amazing.
And if I remember correct, at the practice session we did, I remember, Maddie, you were part of the conversation. Sophie, were you part of the conversation too about entrepreneurship? Talk about that a little bit more, because what does your team decide to do to be a part of that?
So basically what we did is we created a nice business plan for entrepreneurship, and we actually, we won it at our Gold Lake, and it just had just about every little bit of information that you could probably think of about the team was in that. And I think we really did a good job on really putting ourselves out there this year.
How long did it take to put that presentation together?
About the entire 6 weeks that we had during build season. While they were building the robot, marketing was hard at work reaching out to our sponsors and putting together our business plan.
And then you have to put that, more than just put together the business plan, you have to walk the walk and talk the talk. You have to be able to present it, mm-hmm. correct? Maddie, how did that go the first time you had to present it this year?
Well, at our competitions, we were a little nervous to talk about it. We had some practice, like at our meetings, just going through everything, making sure we knew what to say. But when judges came up, we seemed to do pretty well with just talking to them because we had gone over it so much, and it was a lot easier than we expected.
Very good. Very good. I was happy for you guys. I spend my weekends kind of keeping track of the local teams, mm-hmm. how they've done. And when they made the announcement, we write these scripts as judges to kind of give clues. And as I was listening to the clues, I pretty much knew that it was going to be you guys. So there was a little bit of a cheer from me for you guys. So congratulations again on that. Joel, as the senior, as the elder statesman of the team, talk to me a little bit about getting to state was awesome, but this past weekend in Detroit, what was that like walking into the facility? And tell me about some of the experiences there.
Well, it was just massive. Like it's on a scale unlike anything we'd ever been to before. We didn't know what to expect because we were going to that for the first time. And 400 teams is a big jump from just 40, you know. It's a whole different ball of wax when you're talking about 400 teams there. So many different people from different places, different areas. It's the first time that you can actually encounter teams from outside of Michigan, because otherwise we are locked into our Michigan district, and we only ever get to play other Michigan teams.
And aside from just teams from other states, did you guys have any interactions? We talked a little bit on your field of play. What other countries were represented, or even not in your field of play, other countries that you saw there, Maddie?
On our field, we had a team from the Netherlands. Was it Germany?
They were 44-81, was from the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. We had a German team. And
On the other fields, there were teams from, there were a lot of Canadian teams. There was an all-girls team from Afghanistan.
Which was impressive. They were on the field. So actually, the fields that I was responsible for, I had two fields that I was responsible for a portion of the leading the judges. I didn't do any judging myself, but was the Archimedes field and the Daly field, which you guys were on. And the Afghanistan team was on the Archimedes field. And just the information I heard from judges that were talking to them, the nonstop line of people that every time I walked past in the pits that were there interacting with them. And that was the thing that was from an international level. To see that when we talk about this being a world's event, it is truly a world's event. And it's an eye-opening thing for all the judges, the mentors, to be able to have those interactions. I'm still impressed with students who have to work together in the competition and figure out how to communicate with each other, because you do need to communicate and share data with your partners. So talk a little bit about the competition, Joel. Not so much just the venue of seeing it, but then what happened for you guys on the Daly field? How did you guys end up in the alliances?
So we were an alliance captain again, ranked 7th out of 68 teams there.
So 68 tough teams.
Right, yeah, none of them are easy, you know. They're all there for a reason. They all qualified the same way we did.
And then, so what happens as the alliance captain, what happens, Sophie, that you guys get to then decide?
Well, then as alliance captains, we got to choose our three other teams that would be a part of our alliance. And so our scouting team worked very, very hard and stayed up very late that night going through, getting all together in a hotel room and figured out who we thought would work best with our robot.
And then because I haven't seen that process, but I've watched what happens is, you know, you have your team in mind that you'd like to pick, and then someone takes them. So you need to have like plans A, B, C, D. How deep is that list that you guys go?
We had a list of about maybe 10 or 15 teams for each like different category of robot that we were looking for, because we had in mind like we need a robot who can do this and this and this. And so once teams started getting taken, we had to think about, okay, who's our next choice? Who are we going to pick next?
Okay, excellent.
How do you, when you were trying to determine those other teams then, how do you determine, how do you have time to analyze the other teams to know what to look for?
Well, when we're in the stands watching qualification matches, our scouting team each has a list of about 10 teams that they're assigned. And so you and your scouting partner have to watch those teams in all of their matches, find out what they can do, how well they can do it, and if they'd be a good match with our robot.
Excellent. So what's the plan for next year? I mean, the bar is worlds, right? So, and Joel, tell me, you as the senior, what are you thinking?
Well, I think the pressure's on now. Well, like, you know, like I said earlier, we've never done anywhere near this well before in our whole history. So, like, there's going to be something of an expectation, I think, just within the team itself, within our own students. There's going to be an expectation to keep this up, you know, keep the results going. And, well, I'm a senior, so that's their problem now.
And probably when you were on the radio earlier this season, we talked as a senior, where are you headed to after graduation?
After college?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to the University of Michigan.
Very good. And what are you going to study?
I'm studying computer science.
Very good. Very good. That's a good program. And then, Maddie, Sophie, what is your goal for the team for next year?
I know our main goal for the business team is to recruit underclassmen, because currently almost our entire business team is juniors, and I think we have one underclassman right now. Yeah. So we really need to get succession planning going to make sure that they don't have to start over once we're gone.
Which is a part of your business plan anyway.
Yes.
The sustainability part. So excellent. Very good. I'm looking forward to seeing things throughout the summer. I saw several Facebook postings. I told you guys at the beginning of the season where you guys were just out in the community raising awareness for Team Ramageddon and everything about FIRST. Again, congratulations. An awesome season. Now you can't rest on your laurels. You got to be ready for next season. So.
All right, thank you guys for coming in. This is Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM, brought to you by Lakeshore Public Schools, Lane Automotive, Luke Brown, Vicki Holt, True Blue Financial, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Wausau Homes in Stevensville, South Haven Public Schools, and Kettering University. Don't forget, we're also on Facebook Live tonight. If you'd like to follow along, like to post a couple of comments or a couple of questions or some shout-outs, be happy to hear from you on there. We'll try to get to those after the break. Coming up next, more Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. News Talk 6:34 at News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Ray Gustafson, Tim Dunai. This is Robotics Roundtable, our weekly Tuesday night show throughout robotics season. This is our last show. This is our season finale for Robotics Roundtable tonight. So we're going to go an extra hour. We'll be here till 8 o'clock tonight because we want to talk to as many of the teams as possible that competed throughout the year. We're also on Facebook Live. If you'd like to follow along with us on Facebook Live and post a comment or a question or a shout out. And, Tim, we've got a couple of comments that came in on Facebook. Anything that we can repeat on the radio?
We've got our friend Grant DeFrancisco, who listens to us religiously, traveling around at Grand Valley State University. He's an alum of the CW Tech Robotarians. Grant wants to know if there's any memories that these students have. So we're going to make sure we hit that.
Sure.
That's Grant, thank you for helping prompt us. We're on task today, though. Yeah. And then Ellen Dutton joined in, gave a comment just talking about the teams that are going to be on here. Ellen Dutton is a phenomenal lady who does a ton to help growth of FIRST Robotics in the area. Definitely works with Team Lanceabout, also working with some other teams in the area that are coming on board. So she does a phenomenal job. We very much appreciate it. And my wife is listening. Last show told me to have fun.
Yeah. Jill chimed in. I know we ran down at the beginning of the show here when we started at 6, the teams that are coming in tonight. Jill was asking kind of the order of the teams.
So that's where Ellen chimed in and gave her the rundown. But so we just visited with Team Ramageddon from South Haven. We have Bionic Bison from New Buffalo with us. Afterwards, we will have Cassopolis Robo Rangers. And then in the second hour, we'll bring in the Green Engineers from Berrien Springs, the Average Joes from St. Joe, and they will finish things off with Team Lanceabout from Lakeshore.
And then we all go out for ice cream afterwards.
Cool. So, Uncle Ray's taking us to Dairy Queen.
Yeah, I'll put it on the company credit card here, see how well
there
that goes.
There we go.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
We've got another team in here. We want to talk about their season and talk about some of the Lewis will sing memories for us here as we're going through.
So we'll let the students introduce themselves. These are the members of Team 5535, the Bionic Bison. I think Ray's favorite name here, Bionic Bison from New Buffalo. We'll start to my left.
I'm Brendan. I'm a freshman.
I'm Ashton Sky Jacobs OBSK. I'm also a freshman.
I'm Bodie Davis. I am a freshman as well.
So we are loaded with seniority here, freshmen. So which is interesting for a high school age team to have so many freshmen, because when we started talking about it, Ashton, you said you're the only person who this is your first year participating, correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
And then Bodie, how long have you participated?
This would be my second year.
And Brendan?
Third.
Third year. So as a freshman, you're just a wise old sage then, yeah. Right? Yeah, excellent. So talk a little bit about, as we did with the South Haven team, talk a little bit about your expectations as a group and maybe individually when you were, coming into this year. So I'll be interested with, we'll start with Brendan, because you've been 3 years. So what was your expectation for the season?
Well, this season, I think since it was like our fourth season, we had a lot more experience going into competition. We knew what we were going to get into. So it was going to be a lot better this year, I believed, than the last previous years because of our experience we have gathered up.
So were you talking from a competition level, how well your robot would be able to compete?
Just from what we were expecting to see from the competition.
Okay. And then Bodie, how about you?
So right along with what Brendan said, we every year our robot's gotten more advanced and that we've which is to do with the experience. We know what works, we know what doesn't work. We're learning to be able to be a little bit more experimental maybe with our design. Like, for example, this year we got a lot more into depth with the pneumatic systems.
Okay.
And because of that, it helped us a lot, and it was definitely a large benefit that we had.
So I'm going to add to that. The decision to start working a little bit more developing the pneumatics, was that as a group, as a team, you guys came up with that, or what led you guys in that direction? Ashton, we'll let you jump in on that.
Well, we kind of had the idea, because last year we used a small piece of pneumatics to open like a little hatch that would drop the balls into the like hopper.
Okay.
And this year we thought instead of just using like motors or anything, like why not just use like an onboard compressor and some pistons?
Very good. So then was that who kind of helped lead you along that way as you were starting to do that design piece?
It was kind of like a team decision, kind of like we were all kind of like thinking like different ways to do it, and it just all happened to be with pneumatics.
So then was there some additional research and studying that you needed to do to find find out how the pneumatics work, how to control it, the downsides of putting an onboard compressor on in those things?
Well, there was probably a lot more coding that I had to do. I'm not personally a coder, but I know I've heard them talk about it. So,
okay.
The compressor probably added a lot of weight, so that was probably the biggest downside of it. But for the most part, when we could just collect air whenever we needed to, then that was pretty useful.
So as a coder, so we had this conversation before, Bodie. As a coder, did this add anything additional for you? Or did you start, as soon as they started talking about, we're going to do this through pneumatics, did your thought process start going to how are we going to do the coding?
So I feel we definitely needed to expand upon our coding minds, I guess, if you will. Like last year, we know how to code motors, all right. We know how to code drive trains. It was just another thing that we had to go and research and learn how to do and add on. It ended up not being too difficult, but there were beginning struggles when we were first learning.
Would you say that now you're a much better coder and because of having gone through that experience?
Definitely. I learned how to be able to research better through that. And I feel capable of being able to go on the internet and find out how to do something new much faster, better than I was previously.
Did that help you at all in school, that process of being able to dig in a little deeper in research?
Yeah, definitely. It like not only like would you be able to, for example, a lot of the places that you'd go to look for answers are where people answer. Chief Delphi, for example.
Okay.
People often answer, and when you do that and bring it, like if you have a question, you can bring that to the school. And so maybe instead of like Googling an answer, for example, which is cheating, you shouldn't do that.
Wait a second. That's I can't even tell you the number of times in my day where I Google something. So.
But you could ask instead maybe your teacher for help. And I've learned to not be afraid to ask for help when needed. And teachers are often always willing to help.
Excellent, excellent, very good. So Ashton, I think I may have asked you this before, and I'm gonna definitely ask Bodie and Brendan too. So we're gonna talk about the competition. Walking into St. Joe for the first time, because that was where your first competition was, What were your thoughts when you walked into that building and someone said, and you went from the build season to actually being in a competition, 40 teams competing, all these people in the gym? What were you kind of thinking there?
I was thinking that, well, this was my first year on the team as well as my first year on the drive team. And when I just walked in, I thought, wow, this is a lot bigger and like a lot like more people than I was expecting, especially with the stands and everything. So many people watching us, so much support from our own like town team and stuff, parents, friends, and just everyone from the community. As well as like the amount, like competitive spirit of like the entire event, as mm-hmm. well as gracious professionalism along with the event. Like teams were always trying to help. We were always trying to help a different team. And yeah, it was very positive, surprisingly.
Very good. So that's the kind of thing we like to see. And I know we have a short amount of time, but I definitely want to take us from the first event that you're at, the St. Joe event. You have some success. Your last event, I should say your last regular season event, and that is at Battle Creek Lakeview. And you were, how did the robot finish? Where were you ranked at the end of qualifications?
I believe you were ranked somewhere around 11.
Okay.
And throughout the competition, we had broken numerous things on our robot. We actually used a gyroscope for our coding this year. I think we might have used one last year, but it didn't work as well as we would have liked it to. And a team actually ended up bashing us with the like getting inside our robot and like ripping a wire off of the gyroscope.
Okay.
And it kind of messed up our autonomous a little bit. But thankfully, Dreadbots, another team at the event, had a spare gyroscope just lying around, so we were okay. able to pick that up from them.
All right, and then so the big thing for you guys, and that's what I wanted to get to, was at Battle Creek Lakeview, your team won the Engineering Inspiration Award. And what was the grand prize that came with that? It qualified you for?
It qualified us for states.
So tell me a little bit about Brendan's state competition. What, I mean, the size of it, how many teams were there?
There was like, 160 teams there. So it was just bigger competition and just a lot more harder competition to deal with.
So, I mean, were you expecting that level of competition from top to bottom? It was pretty intense.
Yeah. No, that's the reason they're there is because they were more aggressive and they wanted it more.
So, Bodie, talk about 40 teams at a St. Joe event or the Lakeview event, and then 160 teams, four right. fields that are all pretty much next to each other at Saginaw Valley State. What was your first thought when you walked into that building?
I was really excited. My first thought was probably, wow, that's a lot of teams, because compared to 40, that is four times that number. And then there was a few extras in there, too, who were competing for different awards.
Right.
And maybe not necessarily their robot was there, which still deserved to be there just as much as other robots as they won the award that they did.
Right.
But it was, I guess, sort of mind-blowing to walk into the pit, and it's a massive gymnasium where countless people who have the same sort of end goal as we did. And it was really a cool experience. And then it's also sort of mind-blowing to me that everybody was very competitive with each other. Like, 40-ranked team would be, like, similar in competitiveness to the first-ranked team.
Yes.
And I thought that was very cool. And then I thought that it was very cool that while there's that competition, everybody's still just as willing to help each other and whatnot and as in the district events. There's still that, I call it the FRC charm, where you all...
I like that.
Where in most of the FRC events, when you compare it to, like, another sport, it's just polite, it's kind, it's... Everybody's dancing together on the stands. It's an amazing experience.
Yeah, I think we pretty much just heard a commercial right there for FIRST. So that was excellent. So we want to wish you guys congratulations on an outstanding season. Ray and I are looking forward to seeing all three of you again as freshmen. We expect to see you guys for quite a while too. We're old men sitting in chairs, kind of like we are right now. So, again, thank you guys for coming in today. We appreciate it. And we'll look forward to seeing you guys throughout the summer in the outreach and already ready for the 2019 season.
This is Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM, brought to you by Lakeshore Public Schools, Lane Automotive, True Blue Financial, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Wausau Homes in Stevensville, South Haven Public Schools, and Kettering University. We'll take a break. Be back with more Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. At 6:50 at News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Ray Gustafson, Tim Dunai. This is Robotics Roundtable, our season finale of Robotics Roundtable. As we wrap up robotics season, we got started back in February and been going. This is our ninth week now.
This is
our 10th week.
Yes.
Wow. Boy, time flies when you're having fun.
Sure, we're having fun.
Anyway, wrapped up the second part of the World Competition in Detroit over the weekend. We had six local teams head that way for the world competition, but there was a lot that happened between the rollout in January and the world competition. And Tim, things are already in place for next year, really, right?
Yeah, they are. as a matter of fact, I have a rolling list of folders under the first folder. Then I have the years that I've been doing this, and I've already started the 2019 First Robotics Competition folder, the 2019 FTC folder.
Yeah.
Just things that you learn and you plan so that you can make things even that much better, because we want the students, when they come, to have the ultimate experience. They help us enjoy it, so we want to make sure that they enjoy their time.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, tonight is all about the students, and we just want to highlight the students and their season from around from all the schools that we could get to come in tonight from Southwest Michigan. And I want to thank all of the parents and the mentors and everything for making this possible to get the transportation here, because we have a lot of teams coming in tonight, a lot of kids coming in tonight. So thank you to the parents and the mentors for all the transportation.
Definitely. And we won't have time for shout outs tonight, but if there's a shout out, it's got to be to every pizza maker in this area that for the last 5 months has been feeding these students.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And we're also, by the way, we're on Facebook Live also. So if you want to follow along on Facebook Live, if you've got a question or a comment, or you want to give a shout out, we'll try to get to some of those as the evening progresses. And before we get going, do we have any shout outs or any messages we want to put out there?
We have a message, but I'm not going to ask the Robo Rangers. We're going to ask. We'll ask this because I think you guys did this last year. So this is a question that came from Melinda Dunai. We're going to let you guys introduce yourselves, and then the question is, can you tell us about RoboProm? I think you might have went last year to RoboProm. All right, so we can talk about that, what it is, and then I can tell you where it happened this year. So to my left is the Cassopolis Robo Rangers.
Just slide that one mic over, and you grab that one over there.
There we go. We're going to have personalized microphones.
Yeah, you can have personalized mics.
So to my left, introduce yourself, and what grade are you in?
Hi, I'm Amelia Ayers. I'm a senior, and this is my fourth year on the team.
I'm Skylar Westfall. I'm a junior. This is my second year as a programmer on the team.
And what team? Because I don't think I even said the team.
Oh, the Robo Rangers, 4325.
Out of?
Cassopolis, Michigan.
So last year, the Robo Rangers had the magical year that Team Ramageddon had this year. Your first time at state competition, your first time at a world competition. Because I have this question that we have to get answered. Who participated in RoboProm, and just what in the world is RoboProm?
So I went to RoboProm, and to be honest, it's just like normal prom. It wasn't that much different. It was just a prom event organized for the students that go to the world competition, because oftentimes the world competition is during a lot of schools' proms. So it's just everybody dancing and craziness. It's just like you'd expect.
And what was the, approximately how many students you think would have been in that?
I guess probably 5 billion. There was a lot.
I still hear stories about it, though.
Yes, and I know this year that they held the RoboProm, and that was held at the Renaissance Center, downtown Detroit, Renaissance Center/Marriott. And I know it was loud, and I know that my hotel was a distance away, and I was fine with that. I really was. So, excellent. So tell us a little bit about the past season that the Robo Rangers had.
You mean this year or
last year? So our 2018 season, what were the expectations coming in, and how did you guys do, and what's the goal for next year?
Okay. So this year, we came into the season pretty much just hoping to qualify for as much as we could. We started our season differently than we have before. Instead of starting planning the robot, we started planning our strategy first. And then maybe a couple days in is when we started planning the robot. And we liked that, but we didn't qualify for state this year, so I don't know if we're going to do it differently next year. Because it was a new experience for us, so we might change it up next year, see what happens.
Okay.
The competition was just so hard. I feel like we had a pretty sound robot, and I personally like the way we designed it, but it is different, so we'll have to get some team opinion on it. But I think as a whole, we did pretty good. It was just the competition was so tough.
You guys made alliance selection at both.
Yeah, we did. Both,
yep. Okay, were you captain at all, or?
We were not. No.
Okay. All right. But you made the alliance selection, which means you're in the top 24 machines that are at any event. And to your point, definitely. I mean, so we talked about the competition you went against was what particular teams?
Yeah. For the St. Joe event, we actually ended up going against Strike Force,
which is now the two-time defending world champion.
Yeah. And at East Kentwood, we ended up going against that one team. And they were also on Einstein this year.
Yeah, so Einstein is the championship field, and that is the finalist that was on the field there. So,
so we had a lot of good luck with that.
Yeah, you can only plan so much. And, yeah. But I think it makes each team a better team when you compete against tougher competition. So then let's talk a little bit about how much time we got, Ray?
About a minute.
Okay, about a minute. So we're going to lead into a little bit here. Talk about First Tech Challenge, and we'll talk a little bit in the next hour about that. So involvement with First Tech Challenge.
Sure. So Skylar and I were both mentors for the First Tech Challenge team we had this year. It was their rookie year, and they qualified for state and went on to Worlds.
All right. So you did get to go to Detroit.
We did.
I had a conversation with you there. And what age level is First Tech Challenge?
First Tech Challenge, it's for Michigan, it's middle school. I think sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. But for the rest of the country, there's also a lot of high schoolers that do it, and it fits through all age groups because there's so many teams in Michigan, they have to have stricter regulation.
Okay.
The types of teams.
And we'll talk a little bit more about some things that are happening with First Tech Challenge when we get into the next hour.
Yeah. This is Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Tim, coming off of the weekend of the second half of the World Competition in Detroit. The first half was in Houston, last weekend in Detroit. How many spectators do you think were there last weekend?
In Houston, they stated that it was 30,000, and in Detroit, it was over 40,000.
Over 40,000. What was it like, real quick, because we're almost out of time here, but what was it like to be in that? And maybe that's a question for the students, too, but to just experience that many people in...
Overwhelming.
It was crazy. Yeah. We met a lot of people, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I want to hear more about that.
And so, I'm going to tell you, as a native Detroiter, growing up in that area, I was very proud. Very cool.
All right, this is Robotics Roundtable. The first hour of our season finale. We'll be back with another hour for the second hour of Robotics Roundtable. It's being brought to you by Kettering University. Think differently, learn differently at Kettering University. South Haven Public Schools, inspiring success in learning, leadership, and life. Wausau Homes in Stevensville, redefining the building experience. Berrien Springs Public School, together inspiring students to think, learn, achieve, and care in a global community. Luke Brown, Vicki Holt from True Blue Financial, independent, uncomplicated, objective. Lane Automotive, currently hiring in their distribution center. Go to laneautomotive.com. In Lakeshore Public Schools, grounded in tradition, committed to excellence, supporting and offering STEM education. Back with the second hour in a moment on WSJM. WSJM 710 at News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Ray Gustafson along with Tim Dunai. This is our season finale of Robotics Roundtable. This is our 10th week of doing it since the robotics season actually kicked off back in January, Tim. And we started doing these shows in February and all the way through the local competitions, the district competition, the state competition, world competitions,
Universal next.
yep. And then I think, it's going to be the universal competition. The universe competition. That's going to be held on Mars, I think, in 2020.
One of these kids is going to be making that... making the ship to get us there. I'm certain of that.
That could be. That actually would be kind of fun. Could you? And then we could broadcast from there. I think we could do that. You think? I wonder
we'll
if
keep
our,
you in mind. There he goes. Skylar's already going to be there. So
I wonder if our broadcast equipment would be able to take us and broadcast.
Think of the advertising we would get. Intergalactic advertising. That'd be awesome.
And we could get Marvin Martian to do the
plutonium. All right, we're going on a tangent now. So.
The plutonium.
You got that voice down.
Yeah. So, hey, Robotics Roundtable brought to you by Kettering University, South Haven Public Schools, Wausau Homes in Stevensville, Berry and Springs Public Schools, True Blue Financial, Lane Automotive, and Lakeshore Public Schools. We're also on Facebook Live if you'd like to follow along. We've got the handy-dandy camera set up in the studio tonight. You can watch us on Facebook and post comments and or questions on there. Any comments come in quick, Tim, that we want to mention?
It doesn't look like anything's refreshed. I think people are still listening, but it's not refreshing.
Okay. All right. So
maybe we're just not refreshing.
Maybe that's I was just going to say. People were revolting. I don't know what it is. Anyway, if you've got a comment or a shout-out, what we're trying to do tonight is feature as many teams as possible from the Southwest Michigan area and just kind of give them a chance to share their experiences and their thoughts and their comments and their glories from the robotics competition.
So we're going to continue on. We spoke a little bit before the hour with Robo Rangers from Cassopolis, and they started talking a little bit about First Tech Challenge, both Amelia and Skylar's involvement as mentors with that team. And talk to us a little bit about what's coming up now in only a couple of weeks here.
Sure. Okay. So we are actually hosting an FTC scrimmage at our school, and it will be on May 19th. And so this is our first time hosting any type of robotics competition, and we're really excited because we have, I think, 15 teams signed up right now, but we have room for 24, and we're looking for people to both come to it and to help, like, volunteer, and we need, you know, any refs and judges and things like that.
So out of the area locally, if there's anyone that's listening, we know a lot of the robotics teams listen. There's emails that are going out. I know I'm trying to send some on behalf of the team. For those that have been to an event and would like to see a little bit more about what's happening at an event, this is a Saturday-only event. There's setup that happens on Friday evening, but primarily the hard fun work is done on Saturday, and it is a lot of fun. And so we're expecting 24 teams, hoping for 24 teams, correct?
Yeah, we can have up to 24 teams. And it's going to be an all-around great experience for, like, any teams that just want to get in a little more work. I also heard that there's grant opportunity for some teams that do spring events.
Okay.
So that's interesting.
So I talked with both of you guys when we were at Kobo, and you're getting to see a different side of this. You've got to experience the mentor side, but now you're kind of a part of the planning and the behind the scenes for running the event. So tell me a little bit about that, Skylar. I mean, I think you said you wanted possibly be a referee.
Yeah, I was really hoping to be a referee during the matches. And it just shows the amount of work that's put into these. Like, it seems like, oh, you just get around, throw some robots together, but it's hard. There's a lot of planning and a lot of work, and it takes a lot. So it really means something when teams host events, and it's great that our team actually gets to do it.
And then, Amelia, what are you thinking that you're going to do here?
I haven't decided. I might want to ref because I do know the FTC game pretty well by this point, but I also really want to MC and just like this introduce the teams.
This is what I thought I was waiting to hear. And then in addition to the May Day event that's happening May 19th, we also have coming up more things in the community. The first weekend in June, so June 2nd, there will be teams down below the bluff for the Mini Maker Fair in St. Mm-hmm. Joe. Mm-hmm. We've always had a good, strong presence. The Robo Rangers were there 2 years ago for that event. And then also we will do, as a group, we'll probably be at Berrien County Youth Fair. There will be anything from kindergarten all the way through high school represented there. And then each of the teams, their individual groups, will also probably do some different camps or so. And I don't know if you guys are doing camps that you know of coming up this summer at all. Probably nothing yet, but no. Probably that's something that'll end up.
Yeah.
There we go. We just sparked the interest. So.
All right. This is Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Teams coming up yet tonight in this next hour here?
So next we've got the Green Engineers from Berrien Springs, Average Joe's, and Team Lanceabout. But before these two go, I want to tell you, I had the opportunity to meet both of these students as Dean's List students. That was my first interviews with them. I cannot even begin to tell you how impressed I am with both of these individuals. Amelia is moving on. Graduating, congratulations.
Thank you. We're
just going to say you're close enough, you got it. Heading off to Massachusetts, and Skylar will be around next year, so looking forward to seeing you. But congratulations on all the success you've had, and good luck in the future.
Thank you. All right.
This Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. We'll take a break. Be back with more in a moment right here on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Very good. 7:19 at News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is the extended version of the season finale of Robotics Roundtable. Ray Gustafson along with Tim Dunai. Our broadcast being brought to you all season by these fantastic sponsors who help make our broadcast possible. Kettering University, South Haven Public Schools, Wausau Homes in Stevensville, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Luke Brown, Vicki Holt, True Blue Financial, Lane Automotive and Lakeshore Public Schools. Without the support of our sponsors, this broadcast would not be possible. And to support the teams, and I also want to give a thank you, and I know we're not doing shout outs tonight, but I just want to thank the mentors and all of the parents of the teams, Tim, because I know the kids go through a lot. They are sleep deprived, eating a lot of pizza, but sleep deprived. But the parents are right there, and the mentors, and just anybody that supports robotics, from the listeners, from you listening tonight, for our followers on Facebook Live, which we're Facebook Live right now. If you'd like to watch and follow along with us tonight, to you as the listener and the followers. And your support throughout the season of robotics. It really has helped, and I know you and I talked about this earlier, Tim, but we started, this is our third year of doing the broadcast. How have we grown over the past 3 years, just in the number of teams, just in Michigan alone, just a ballpark number?
The number, we are at 508, I want to say the number was this year, and that first year we did it, we were under 400.
Yeah, so we've grown exponentially in the, and it's fantastic. And I think the state of Michigan leads the country in the number of teams that robotics teams that there are.
Right? Yes, definitely. Yeah. In the high school and even still in middle school, the FTC program, we talked about this, 508 teams in high school and 426, I think, roughly, give or take, in the middle school FTC. Right. So 934 teams range from ages or grades 6 through 12. I think that's pretty impressive.
And I didn't do the math on it exactly, but I think the next closest, I don't even think, hits almost half of what Michigan has. And that's like Texas.
Correct.
Or California.
Texas will start bumping up there a little bit. They're doing some things with a league, which is great. It's growing. It's expanding. So we were at a couple of little facts here. At world competition, over 500,000 students are involved in the K through 12.
Wow.
Which is great. And it's 23% growth was the number that was quoted this weekend, which is great. But it's a small amount when you look at how many billion people in the world. Mm-hmm. And this little secret we have of FIRST, we want to continue to let it grow because we watch how these students come in. They're enthused. It changes lives. It definitely changes lives.
Yeah.
So we want to get more students involved with it. So that's why the benefit of working with WSJM and getting this word out here, it helps in our area to get those parents, those sponsors, and all of it is for the benefit of the students. Yeah. So, and I think we're gonna jump into introducing the students here. So we have next here is Greengineers from Berrien Springs, Team 3450. We have a bunch of rookies with us on the radio, so we promise nobody will be harmed during this, but relax, and I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves, starting to my left, your name and what grade you're in and where you go to school.
I'm Devin. I'm a freshman, and I go to Berrien Springs High School.
I'm Luis. I'm a sophomore, and I go to Berrien Springs High School.
I'm Elijah. I'm a freshman, and I go to Berrien Springs High School.
Okay, very good. And then number of years, I think we talked, Luis, this is your second year on the team, correct?
Yes.
Okay, very good. And then that means for you guys, freshman, Elijah, and Devin, how many years on the team?
This is my first.
Yeah, same.
So, but we just had this conversation. You guys aren't rookies now, right, Devin? What are you?
Right now we're veterans because the season just concluded.
That's right. And let's talk a little bit about the season. So maybe, Luis, if you could grab the microphone, pull it close to you. Let's start with where your team was a year ago. How did you guys finish up?
So last year we had won our subdivision at Worlds, the Tesla Field, and...
And so for those that are tuning in, too, we had six divisions, six fields. And how many teams are on one of those fields, roughly?
There's 67 or 68 teams on
okay.
the field.
So, again, you guys won.
Right, yeah, we won our field. We were fourth alliance captains, which was pretty good.
Yeah.
So you were in control of your own destiny. You got to pick who you're going to be with. And then in the round robin, because what we do, Ray, is we take the six teams and they basically play off against each other one mm-hmm. time. So there's a rating that ends up. So where did you guys end up finishing all those six
six
division champions?
We were fifth. We won two round robin matches.
Okay.
Yeah, two out of the five matches we played on the Einstein Field. So that was pretty good.
So then that sets the table for what kind of expectations did you have as a returning now veteran, and you look at these young rookies coming to join the team, what was the expectations that you had coming into the year?
So as any first student will know, success one year does not guarantee success the next, but we had a successful build season this year. We were pretty smooth in how we operated, so we were hoping that would translate over to our season, and I think it did.
Okay, and then Elijah, since we got the microphone there, let's pull it close to you. So now you're a first-year student coming in. Did you hear what kind of brought you to the team? Did you hear some of the success from last year?
No, actually. When I was in sixth grade for our PLTW course, we went to watch one of the matches, and I was hooked.
Okay,
really?
Since then, I'd wanted to be on the team.
So did you do anything between your freshman year and sixth grade year that you were participating in? Is there anything you were doing in school that was robotics-oriented?
Not really, but in eighth grade, I was kind of just there. I kind of looked at what the robotics team did.
Okay.
I kind of learned some stuff.
Okay, very good. So then your expectations as you came into the year, you know, was it like Luis said, you know, you got to earn your way every year, or did you think, hey, we're going to Worlds?
I had no idea.
Okay.
I was a freshman, and my goal was just to learn as much as I could so I could prepare for next year so I could help more.
Was there ever a time that you felt a little overwhelmed at anything?
All of the time.
Really? How so? And maybe you guys can other share.
Yeah, we'll let Devin chime in this too. But Elijah, I mean, so when did you feel kind of overwhelmed, and what was the big thing that was maybe most overwhelming?
And what helped?
Well, initially, I thought 6 weeks would be quite a bit of time, and then I blinked and we were halfway through, and I started getting a little terrified, but we started putting in a ton of hours, and I started feeling more comfortable near the end.
Okay. And then Devin, how about you?
I didn't feel too pressured, but you know, there's still the pressure on there because we're a team and the team operates together. But like Elijah said, that 6 weeks goes in the blink of an eye, so...
And blinking an eye, you didn't get any sleep during that time, I'm going to guess, so.
Lots of Quick Mart food.
Cool. So for the freshmen, this is my question. So the St. Joe event, that was your first, so you said, Elijah, you'd been to an event. Devin, had you been to an event?
Yeah, I was in the same class as him, and it was the same experience for me. Just instantly fell in love with it.
What was probably the more shocking, because if you came to the St. Joe event, you were used to seeing the magnitude of that. But you guys had a successful season. How'd you guys do at St. Joe?
Pretty good.
So telling everybody else, how did you do?
We won.
We won the event. So
I'd say that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. And you won it with?
Strike Force, 2767.
Which is a defending
world champion.
Two-time defending world champion, and at the time they were an alliance partner with you. Did they pick you guys?
Yeah, were there for.
So that moment where they picked you as an alliance partner, what were the thoughts right after that happened? Was that kind of a?
I was happy. I thought we were going to win.
Okay, because that quite honestly was just a, no pun intended, that was a machine. They did their job very efficiently. So, but then also you had competed against them the year prior, at the end of the year prior. On the Einstein Field.
Yeah, that match against them on Einstein's was a lot of fun. for everyone who doesn't know how that went, they hit us pretty hard early on in that match and knocked our battery out, so we were disabled almost the entire match.
Yeah, so I was watching that online, and for about 30 seconds I thought, okay, everyone's going to avoid them. No one's going to hit them nor the battery. And after about 30 seconds, yeah, that theory was gone.
Now, Tim, you said this wasn't the BattleBots, though.
Not the BattleBots.
And that wasn't intentional, though, really. Was it?
No, but it was. It's the hustle of I need to get from point A to point B, and I need a straight line, and this robot's in my way. Would that be about right, Luis?
Yeah, that's exactly how it goes.
So talk to me then, Elijah and Devin, about, because you'd been to a 40-team event, or you'd seen it as a spectator. Tell me what you guys thought. Devin, you first, when you got to Saginaw Valley State and you guys were competing now because you qualified.
Well, at first I didn't know how good we were going to do because, yeah, we won St. Joe and we're finalists at Forest Hills. But, you know, that doesn't mean anything because you can have a lot of success one time and then just not do anything right the next time. And so I wasn't too sure until we started getting later on into the match.
So, but when you see 160 teams... It's kind of a big number.
Yeah, it's a bit intimidating.
And then what type of success did you guys have at the state competition?
We won our division. And when we went to the semifinals, we got knocked out then. But we got close.
Okay. And then that qualified you guys. You qualified for World. And then real quickly, how did you guys do at Worlds? As far as, were you an alliance captain at the World competition?
Yeah, we ended up ranked fourth, and we were third alliance captain,
which is impressive. And it goes to what we talked about earlier, the Southwest Michigan teams just continuing to be strong at all of the events that they go to. You guys won an event, you were a finalist at Forest Hills, then you won a division at the state competition, and an alliance captain on a field with 67 to 66 other very competitive teams. So, right. So would we say this was a successful season?
I would say it was very, very successful.
So the lesson is, doesn't matter what you did last year. So what does next year look like for you guys? What are you guys expecting?
We're expecting to just continue to improve. That's what we want to do as a team, is just every year improve, get better, learn more.
Okay. And then I just want to compliment you guys as a team. Yeah. You guys were outstanding all year long. And then I also want to give all of you kudos because you've survived your first radio interview. No blood, nobody injured, no batteries hit and knocked off.
Yeah, the blood draw is coming up, though, after
the commercial we'll let them know that. So, again, guys, thank you very much. We look forward to seeing you guys. I'm sure we'll probably see the Greengineers at Mini Maker Fair and Bering County Youth Fair. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. This is Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Our program brought to you by Kettering University, South Haven Public Schools, Wausau Homes in Stevensville, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Luke Brown, Vicki Holt of True Blue Financial, Lane Automotive, and Lakeshore Public Schools. This is our season finale, so it's a two-hour special here of Robotics Roundtable. We'll be back with more right here on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Seven 7:34 on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Robotics Roundtable. Ray Gustafson, Tim Dunai, along with you. Normally our show is every Tuesday night from 6 to 7, but this is our season finale, so we're going an extra hour tonight talking to as many of the teams from Southwest Michigan as we can to talk about their season and how well they did and share some of their stories and some of the highs and lows and the intimidations and the overwhelming factors of of everything. And it was funny, you know, in the last segment, Tim, we were talking about how they thought, oh yeah, in January the build season, 6 weeks in the build season, it's like, oh yeah, that's plenty of time, 6 weeks, oh yeah, that's 6 weeks, holy cow, that's forever, right? Yeah. And I'm seeing the teams here shaking their head no, saying no. So 6 weeks, not really enough.
So I want to let the students. So this one is going to be a fun last couple sessions here. We have in the same room, folks. They're not battling each other. All right. We have the Average Joes, Team 3620 from St. Joe, and Team 4237, Team Lanceabout, represented here from Lakeshore High School. And I'm going to let the students introduce themselves, maybe state the school you're from, what year you're in, and then let's talk about Ray's question, the 6 weeks for build season kind of thing. So we'll start to my immediate left. Real close to that microphone.
Hello, my name's Jonathan Pugh. I'm a senior on St. Joe.
Hi, my name's Emma Schmidt. I'm a sophomore at Lakeshore.
Hi, I'm Noah Brooks. I'm a junior at St. Joe.
Hi, I'm Mark Washington. I'm a senior at Lakeshore High School.
So, Mr. Senior at Lakeshore High School, 6 week build time. Is it enough time? Could you use more time? Is it too much time?
Well, we could use probably about 12 or more weeks.
Really?
It takes a long time to build a robot. You know, it's easy because I'm on the programming team. We aren't limited to just putting the robot in the bag and not being able to work on the code. We still have all the time we can get, but we still need the robot to test. And the 6 weeks, we kind of have to hurry and write the code to test it out.
How many hours do you think a day? And now, at the beginning, probably not as many, but when you start to feel that pressure building, it's like week four, and you're like, oh, crap. I mean, how do the hours pick up?
Well, it starts off slow. We just do, like, our 3 hours a day meeting. But then, like, close to, like, at the very end of the season, mm-hmm. when 6 weeks is about to end, we started doing, like, all-day meetings, that like, about 12 hours.
Wow.
We were there the whole time.
So, Jonathan, you and Mark, different perspectives here than maybe the youngins in the room. As a senior, does that 6 weeks, when you're first involved, does that scare you? And then what does it feel like as a senior? Do you kind of go, yeah, we got this?
Well, it's like I always know that we'll, like, get as much done as we can get done, but also I'm on marketing, so this is just me winging it for all the other perspectives of the team. But, like, like Mark said, we could always use a ton more time, but we always get done a large amount of, like, what we actually want to get done, and then the rest of it is just adding on so that later, as the competition develops, we're, like, more, like, on top of it.
Okay. Noah, what do you do on the team?
During build season, I'm on build, basically just fabricating and working on getting the robot from many pieces to one piece.
Okay, one working piece.
One working piece. Not always exactly as smooth as that, but during the competition season, I shift over onto the strategy side, in which basically dealing with logistics and numbers, basically to analyze each match and make sure we have the highest chance of winning that we possibly can.
Very good. So I wanted to ask you then a little bit, as the build and not the marketing guy who says everything is going fine, don't worry, we'll be done on time. The build guy, are your thoughts kind of the same as Mark, going, man, we could use a bunch of time? And because the build team is tied to when the robot is out of the bag.
I found it interesting earlier. I think you said that it seems a lot scarier the 6 weeks as a freshman than it does now. I think it's the exact opposite.
Okay.
Basically, in my freshman year, that was our smoothest year. Basically, everything went from start to finish in a pretty linear fashion. But this year, we came out kicking. We had the most productive, student-led overall strategy and beginning design. And then we just sort of kept doing that. And I think during week four, in a single week, we got our competition robot done. And then the next week, we got the practice robot done. And incredibly fast. It was pretty crazy seeing wow. everything go from something to nothing in about 14 days.
Which is still just amazing to see, especially student-led to be a part of that. Emma, what do you do on the team for Team Lancebot?
On our team, I am the electrical team lead, which I have two kids that are under me, so I'm trying to help put together the bot and the electrical system while teaching these kids what they need to know to continue it on once I'm gone.
So do you find yourself doing a lot of, here, let me show you how to do this, or is it you instruct and then kind of let them do it?
Well, I try to do a little bit of both, but uh-huh. in the heat of build season, it does get complex. So there are some things that I've learned, considering it was my first time being a leader on the team. So this fall, I plan on trying to teach them more during the off season than during build season.
Which is good. It's that here, go ahead, try it. Okay, I've had enough time. Now I need to go ahead and step in and get it done. So let's talk a little bit about how the competitions went for you guys. at, we'll go ahead, Mark, give perspective, first event that you guys had this year, and let's actually go back a year ago. What happened that was different for Team Lancebot? What were some of the successes you guys had a year ago as far as where you were able to compete?
Well, some of the successes we had last year we had some really good autonomous code that we got to run at St. Joe, and that got us like a lot of points and good standing.
And then you guys qualified for state competition last year?
Yeah, last year was the first time ever that we'd actually qualified for the state competition. I think we might have gotten an award in our first year that qualified us for it, but last year was the first time that we actually qualified based on points from our competitions.
Based on robot. And then continuing on, you also were able to go to St. Louis, correct?
That's right. At state, we got enough points. We advanced to the finals on our division, and then we ended up going to Worlds for the first time as well.
Awesome.
So that experience of walking into the dome in St. Louis, how was that?
Oh, that was amazing. Like, I was so used to all the smaller competitions, like the regional events, and then to see so many teams in this one area, it was crazy.
Your dad would be really ecstatic to see that smile that just popped in your face when I said, what was St. Louis like? And then Jonathan, so the year for the Average Joes last year, I mean, you guys were able to go to, and this is the 2017 season, so competed at what levels?
So we started off at our own event, St. Joe, and we won that with, the only team I remember is we won it with Strikeforce, the now two-time world champion.
Uh-huh.
So we won that with them, and then we went on to be finalists at Grand Valley State University, that competition. And then at States, we made it to States. I don't remember everything happened there, but then we made it to Worlds, and yeah, it was a really good season.
So it's a success that's – go ahead.
I also forgot we last year went to the Midwest Regional. That's the one I forgot. That was all the way in Chicago. And that was the first time we'd ever been there, and we made a lot of friends. We had a lot of fun. It was a really awesome event.
Very good. So then this year now, Noah and Emma, we'll talk to you guys about. So expectation, both of your teams had just successful state runs last year, world runs. What was the expectations coming in? Emma, what was Team Lancebot's goal for this year expectations?
I think our goal was definitely to make it back to Worlds. Last year, we had the privilege of being Alliance captains at Worlds, so we definitely wanted to move up in the rankings. Unfortunately, we did not. We ended in 23rd, but we still were able to be picked by the fourth-seeded Alliance.
Okay. And Noah?
I think that probably the most valuable lesson we learned last year in terms of qualifications and ranking-wise is that with the whole fuel situation and getting a ranking point from that is that everyone was lock-focused on getting guaranteeing that we could get all four ranking points every single time. And we put so much focus onto that, we kind of sacrificed a little bit of drive time and a little bit of performance at our first competition. And as we slowly creeped up, we had a huge delta in performance from beginning to end. We started off at St. Joe,
at one point we were in 35th place at
out
St.
Of
four, Joseph.
Out of 40 teams.
Out of 40 teams, and we climbed all the way across the 2 days. We made it back up into 10th place. We had a huge change in our rank.
Very good. So then tell us a little bit about, we'll lead into the break and then come back with this. So let's talk a little bit about, we had some history that took place on the Archimedes field. So talk to me about Alliance selection and your surprise when you guys were both picked by, you said it was the fourth Alliance captain. So tell us a little bit about that, Jonathan.
So the fourth Alliance captain was a team, I don't know where they're out of, but Team Illinois, and their name is Argos. And they picked up the Lancebots, and we shared scouting data. We worked on scouting with the Lancebots. They jumped onto our scouting system, and they took half of our scouting, and we took the other half. And then they went out there, and then they kind of recommended, hey, you should pick the Average Joes. And then we had all of our – then they picked us up, and then we had all of our data for our fourth pick, which was
The Great Leviathan.
So so when we come back from the break, we'll talk a little bit about that, a little bit more competing on a final alliance on one of the fields at the World Championship.
This is Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM, our season finale. A two-hour special, I guess you could call it tonight, as they call it on the TV, right? So, yeah. All right, our broadcast brought to you by Kettering University, South Haven Public Schools, Wausau Homes in Stevensville, Berrien Springs Public Schools, Luke Brown, Vicki Holt, True Blue Financial, Lane Automotive, and Lakeshore Public Schools. We'll be back with more Robotics Roundtable in a moment right here on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. ...749 at News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Robotics Roundtable, our season finale, as we get ready to wrap up the robotics season. World competition taking place last weekend in Detroit and the week before that in Houston. Ray Gustafson, Tim Dunai, our regular, my regular cohort and co-host, I guess, on Robotics Roundtable. And we've been doing Facebook Live for this extended version of our season finale tonight. And there's a couple of comments that have come in that are kind of cool that I think we should probably mention on Facebook Live. If you want to, by the way, we're about done here in about 10 minutes, so if you want to post a quick comment or something, we look forward to those. But what are anything that we want to read?
So
do we need a Kleenex?
Mark's aunt, who we can't pronounce your last name, I'm sorry, Mark Ken. So Mark, the name is Susan Voss
Huveruna.
There we go. And she says, so proud of the team, especially my awesome nephew, Mark. Double exclamation point.
That's really awesome.
Very cool. Yeah. And then we had a couple of Doug Washington with a Jonathan. and that was echoed by Miss Madeline Dale, what Doug said.
Yeah. Yep.
And yes. And Maddie. That's right. She goes by Madeline, though. And then we had a couple other ones here, too. We had one that came in, and I want to come back to talking about what happened on Archimedes, but we'll finish off when we get done here talking about the reveal for next year's game, the teaser for that. So I want to get some input for you guys on that one. But I want to come back to what we were talking about. So Team Lancebot and the Average Joes are now alliance partners on the Archimedes field. Talk to me a little bit about how that felt. And I mean, I was sitting in the stands with Team Lancebot and Average Joe sitting next to each other. Now the blue and the yellow and the black and red are all kind of rooting together. Talk about that a little bit as seniors, Mark. I mean, were you aware of it? Because you're a driver out on the field.
Yeah, it was really weird because I think that was the first time in like on my time on the team that we'd ever been in an alliance with St. Joe in a real competition. And it was kind of funny that it was in, like, the final few matches that I played at the World Championship. It was pretty cool.
Did that, I mean, did the gravity of that kind of hit you, that part where you said it's the last matches I'm playing as a senior? Was that in the back of your mind at all throughout the weekend as you brought it up?
Yeah, it was. That was kind of sad that my time with the team is almost done. But it was also really fun that we got to play our last few matches with all our friends on St. Joe.
Friends on St. Joe. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear it. It's just so strange because it's like, you know, teams, you compete against each other, but yet you're friends, and that's kind of rare. And it's a good thing. It's a good rare, but.
Yeah, I will tell you, I was paying attention. I was focusing on a couple other things, still finishing some official duties. And when I heard that alliance pairing, I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Is that field going to open up underneath there? And probably for me was the watching of the teams cheer together. And I'm looking to my left is Jonathan, the marketing guy, has this other task in the stands. And, Jonathan, tell us a little bit about leading cheers.
So I am loud. And I
really?
Like, who'd have thunk? Anyway, so I'm in charge of getting the Average Joes all riled up during competitions. So since we were already sitting with Lancebots, I was like, all right, well, I'll get them pumped up too. And what better way than to take a little bit of like school rivalry into there. So at one point I said, like, I like yelled at the Lancebots, like, I can't, like, I like, let me hear you. And like, they yelled and I was like, come on, St. Joe can yell louder than that. And then they got way louder. So it was a lot of fun though. There was a lot of energy in the stands. Like, it was so much fun.
So tell us a little bit, Noah, how did the teams end up doing as far as competition-wise on that field?
Unfortunately, that day I was not there live. I had to leave to watch my sister's graduation, but
which you enjoyed.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
it was a great event. I was watching the stream the entire time, even during the ceremonies. I believe I saw we had a really tough semifinal match, and I was actually shaking in the stands when we made it to the finals.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone quite frankly saw that coming. That was pretty incredible.
Emma, tell us a little bit. How far did you guys end up getting?
So we ended up making it through semifinals, and we ended up losing it to a team, the third seeded alliance, I'm sorry, which is also has a team that is not too far from here, Trisonics, which we have an alumni mentor on. So that was kind of a little hurtful, but we ended up making it to finals.
So that was Raid. I know I've mentioned several times to you because he's one of the favorite students. I shouldn't say favorite. There's a lot of awesome students that come through. Drew Craven at Grand Valley State had told me I saw him at Saginaw, and he's completed his first year at Grand Valley State.
Right.
He now has a full ride at GVSU, and him and I were texting throughout the weekend, and finally we saw each other right before this finals match. And I said, "What do you think of this?" And he says, "It's awesome." And I go, "Tell me, who are you rooting for? Where's your heart?" And He was wearing a Trisonic shirt, and he patted his heart and he said, "It's right here," which I'm looking at Mark, his former friend. And it cuts through. But I mean, that's probably one of the cool things that I've seen come out of this program is these students, they continue on, they go to college, they find a team. I had talked with Drew about potentially helping as a judge assistant, and he found his way onto a team as a mechanical mentor for that team. And he has now become a part of that culture. So it's just continued on those things that he's learned here at Lakeshore. The question that was asked a little bit earlier, what do you guys think about, talk a little bit about the teaser for next year's game and what are your thoughts about that? We'll start with you, Mark.
All right. So at the end of like the closing ceremonies after the final matches were played, they kind of opened up this little mysterious video with people talking about space, like JFK. And I don't think a lot of people knew what it was. But then at the end, they started announcing the names for each game for next year. And the FRC game name for next year is called Destination Deep Space.
Wow.
And the big thing about that being revealed at the World Championship is usually we'll get a teaser in what time of the year? Maybe October, September time frame? A teaser to kind of tell you what the game is about. So now the students have, the students are going to still be sticking around. The seniors are moving on, but now you have a whole year or 8 months until we get to January to think about it. So what are your thoughts for the game, Emma?
I definitely think it's cool. One of the things that after last year, being a freshman on the team, me and my mom this year, we got really excited for the teaser to be released for this year's game. So after it was released, we all would... me and her would sit up and we watched it like 50 times and we'd strategize and different things. So I definitely think it'll be a lot more fun trying to strategize different things this year with her.
Noah, your thoughts heading into next year and seeing those, the deep space.
I recall I saw the teaser on the Houston stream a week before.
Which is where I saw it.
Yeah.
It took andymark.com, which they do a lot of parts for first. It was where a lot of teams get their stuff. And within 8 hours, they had already had the slippery wheels from 2009, so I'm pretty sure, which was another game that was pretty moon-themed, so I'm pretty sure that all the forums are pretty excited about that.
Very good. So 2 hours went by pretty quick, Ray.
Holy cow.
I want to thank you guys for coming in, for deciding to sit together, which I didn't think would be too tough of a task. I want to say congratulations on four awesome seasons for both Mark and Jonathan heading off into the next stage of your careers and your life. I have no doubt I will probably see you at first events, Jonathan yelling in the crowd and Mark teaching I don't know how many people to code. and we're definitely looking forward to seeing Emma and Noah come back next year. We will see you guys throughout the summer at the different events. And Ray and Lewis, I want to thank you guys for another successful season, and I look forward to season 4 of Robotics Roundtable.
Yeah, and Tim, thank you so much for everything that you do. Guys, can we give him a round of applause? This is for Tim, for everything that he does for robotics as well. Thank you. And for Tim Denai, I'm Ray Gustafson. This has been Robotics Roundtable on WSJM, brought to you by Kettering University. Think differently, learn differently at Kettering University. South Haven Public Schools, inspiring success in learning, leadership, and life. Wausau Homes of Stevensville, redefining the building experience. Berrien Springs Public Schools, together inspiring students to think, learn, achieve, and care in a global community. Luke Brown and Vicki Holt at True Blue Financial, independent, uncomplicated objectives. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA/SIPC. Lane Automotive, currently hiring in their distribution center. Go to laneautomotive.com. And Lakeshore Public Schools. For Tim Denai, I'm Ray Gustafson. We'll see you next season on Robotics Roundtable.